Let me start by first thanking the Maternal and Child Health section and tell you that I'm honored to have been invited to present my research during this session. I'd also like to credit my co-author and dissertation chair, Dr. Sandra Hoffer, who was unable to be here today. In addition, I'd like to acknowledge my program director, Dr. Edmund Schnasse, who's in the front row. Before I start my presentation, let me state I have no relationships with any organization or entity with a financial interest in the subject matter or materials presented in this discussion. A little bit of background. Infant mortality is one of the most important indicators of the health of a nation. It is associated with a variety of factors such as maternal health, quality and access to care, and it is used to compare the health and well-being of populations across and within countries. The United States has experienced an impressive reduction in infant mortality over the past several decades. According to the CDC, the infant mortality rate has steadily declined from 47 per 1,000 live births in 1940 to 6.75 in 2007. There are a lot of causes of infant mortality that I've listed here, but what I'd like to focus on for a moment is the second leading determinant, which is disorders related to low birth weight. Low birth weight, which is typically defined as less than 2,500 grams, accounted for nearly 17% of infant deaths in the United States in 2007. Researchers have consistently demonstrated a strong relationship between weight gain during pregnancy, which I'll hereafter refer to as gestational weight gain, and low birth weight. Low gestational weight gain is considered an important risk factor for low birth weight, and also negatively influences other fetal outcomes, such as intrauterine growth restriction, preterm birth, and perinatal mortality. These risks led the Institute of Medicine of the National Academy of Sciences to issue gestational weight gain recommendations in 1990. They were recently re-examined in 2009, and they provide target weight gain ranges specific to a woman's weight status and are associated with the best infant and maternal outcomes. I've listed them on this table, but recommendations are based on a pre-pregnancy body mass index and include weight gains of 28 to 40 pounds for women who are underweight or have a BMI of less than 18.5 kilograms per meter squared, 25 to 35 pounds for women of normal weight, and 15 to 25 pounds of women who are overweight. Their recommendation also includes a relatively narrow range of recommended weight gain of 11 to 20 pounds for women who are obese or have a BMI of greater than or equal to 30. So you might ask, why are we interested in looking at gestational weight gain? Well, as Abram et al. Described in a paper titled "Pregnancy Weight Gain Still Controversial," only 30 to 40% of American women actually have weight gains within the IOM recommended ranges. In addition, during the recent examination of the IOM guidelines using birth certificate, PRAMS, and PNSS data, the IOM found that less than half of the women represented in these particular populations met the previously released recommendations. Also, since the release of the 1990 guidelines, low gestational weight gain has become more common. Thus, our study sought to determine the relative importance of inadequate gestational weight gain as a cause of infant mortality. There's currently limited literature assessing the link between gestational weight gain and infant mortality. In the 1990 IOM report, only one NCHA study on perinatal mortality was examined using 1980 data. There's only been one additional study since then. As part of the 1988 NMIHS study survey, Chin et al. Examined maternal obesity and the risk of infant death. And in this study, maternal pre-pregnancy and BMI and gestational weight gain were used in the analysis. So in this particular study, among underweight, normal weight, overweight, and obese women, low gestational weight gain was associated with an increase in infant mortality, and the relative risk ranged anywhere from 3 to 4 to twofold increases depending on the weight gain, pre-pregnancy weight gain category. So in this study, we used NCHS's 2002 birth cohort linked birth infant death data file. Because the file contains records for over 400 million births, we chose a random select sample of 100,000 subjects using the SAS survey select procedure. We identified 80,224 subjects with complete data and found among, but most of the data was missing on gestational weight gain. And we, in addition, we conducted an analysis of the missing data and found on the critical variables of low birth weight and gestational age, there was no significant difference between the full sample and the sample without the missing data. And now, before I describe the study of variables, I think it's important to note that the current available data sources for are inadequate for studying national trends in gestational weight gain. And because we use the 2002 birth cohort link data file, which uses the 1998 version of the birth certificate, we were not able to precisely replicate the IOM guidelines because it only records a total number of weight gain. But to be conservative, what we did was we used the lower limit of the IOM recommended range to define low weight gain, and we classified gestational weight gain into the three outcome categories which I've listed here. So inadequate, which was a weight gain of less than or equal to 24 pounds. Normal weight gain was between 25 and 40 pounds, and excessive weight gain was more than or equal to 41 pounds. Other variables included low birth weight, infant death, full-term birth, advanced maternal age, which was treated as a dummy variable, and maternal education. The risk of infant mortality was used as a dependent variable, and gestational weight gain as the main independent variable. The infant's gestational age and the mother's age were also included as controls. Using SAS version 9.1 software, I calculated descriptive statistics for mean maternal age, weight gain, birth weight, and infant death. I used Cox proportional hazard regression to compute the hazard of infant death by day after birth up to 365 days, and those who survived were censored after 12 months. An interaction between inadequate maternal weight gain and maternal race was also included, and because white women and women of normal weight gain had the lowest risk of adverse outcomes, they served as the reference group. Evidence for mediation was a decline in the coefficient for weight gain after the addition of a low birth weight dummy variable. Evidence for moderation was provided by a significant interaction between race and a dummy variable for low weight gain, and the fit was assessed by the difference in minus 2 log likelihood across models. The hypothesis we examined in the study were women with inadequate gestational weight gain are at increased risk of infant mortality. Infants born of low birth weight are at increased risk of infant mortality. And low birth weight partially explains the effect of inadequate weight gain on infant mortality. It was also hypothesized that minority women are at a higher risk of infant mortality than their white counterparts, and they do not achieve the recommended weight gain. And here we have a little demographics. Mothers in the sample had a mean age of 27 and the age of delivery ranged from 12 to 54. 0.64% of infants died. The majority of the study sample was white, followed by 17.1% Hispanic, 15.4% Black, 3.9% Asian or Pacific Islander, and 1% American Indian. Only about 50% of mothers gained the recommended amount of weight gain, and nearly 30% experienced inadequate gestational weight gain. Of the infants whose mothers gained an inadequate amount of weight gain during pregnancy, 1.17% died, compared with 0.42% of those whose mothers who gained a normal or excessive amount of weight. Of the nearly 8% of infants born low birth weight, 5.48% compared with 0.23% of those of normal birth weight died. And here on this slide, I'm presenting a series of nested proportional hazards regression models. Model 1 displays the odds ratio for infant deaths associated with the two weight gain categories with controls for gestational age and maternal age. Here we see infants born to women with inadequate gestational weight gain had odds of infant death that were 123% higher than the odds for the reference group. excessive weight gain was not associated with an increase in the chance of infant mortality. Model 1 also shows an association between gestational age and infant mortality. Babies born after 36 weeks of gestation were 92% less likely to experience death than those born preterm. Low birth weight was also added to Model 2. The coefficient for inadequate weight gain declined 20%, but remained significant and positive. Infants of women with low gestational weight gain were 92% more likely to die than infants of women achieving the recommended range. Therefore, that showed that low birth weight was a partial mediator for infant mortality. Newborns weighing less than 2,500 grams had odds of infant death that were 905% higher than those of the normal birth weight. Model 3 shows the association between weight gain and infant mortality, including controls for maternal race. Again, the fit of the model was an improvement over Model 2, and the effect of inadequate weight gain remained significant and then of the same magnitude after race was introduced. Black mothers had an increased chance of infant death when compared to white mothers, and Asian mothers had a reduced chance of infant death when compared to white mothers, though the association did not reach significance by conventional levels. Model 4 also adds maternal education, and the model is a significant improvement over Model 3. After controlling for birth weight, maternal education, and race, infants born to women with inadequate gestational weight gain had odds of infant death that were 1.84 times the odds for infants born to women with normal weight gain. Newborns weighing less than 2,500 grams had odds of infant death that were 867% higher than those of normal weight. Mortality was strongly linked to schooling, which is consistent with previous research, with increased years of education predicting lower levels of infant mortality. Thus, the analysis supported our hypothesis one, that inadequate gestational weight gain was associated with increased odds of infant death. Supporting hypothesis two, low birth weight was associated with greater odds of infant death. And hypothesis three was partially supported in that association between inadequate maternal weight and the odds of infant death declined after the inclusion of low birth weight. However, although low birth explained about 18% of the effect, and it was itself strongly associated with infant death, inadequate gestational weight gain was a significant predictor of infant death even after adjusting for gestational age and low birth weight. Hypothesis 4 was not supported. The study failed to find any difference in the association between maternal weight gain and the increased risk of infant death by race. But the results, however, did support previous research that infants born to black women are especially high risk of infant mortality. Now, before the conclusion and implications of the findings can be considered, I feel the need to discuss a couple of the limitations. Now, as previously mentioned, the file lacked data on maternal pre-pregnancy weight and height. Thus, overweight or obese women who gained the recommended amount of weight could have been incorrectly classified. So, and what we tried to do is, with this potential misclassification of exposure status, we conducted a sensitivity analysis to determine if we would obtain similar results if we categorized inadequate weight gain as less than or equal to 14 pounds, which is the lower limit for overweight women. Now, after taking into account gestational age, maternal age, and low birth weight, infants born to mothers with inadequate gestational weight gain continue to have odds of infant death that were higher than the odds for the reference group of infants. There's also the possibility that their mother's gestational weight gain could have been misreported or misrecorded. We could not identify any national representative data that would support this, so the extent of that bias is unknown at this time. And so our study data supports the conclusion that there is a significant association between inadequate gestational weight gain and infant death, which is mediated slightly by low birth weight. The magnitude of this association is consistent with the results of other studies that have linked inadequate weight gain with infant mortality and low birth weight. However, we think one of the newer contributions of our particular analysis is that it clearly demonstrates that low gestational weight gain remains a problem for women and does not differ by race and ethnic group. It also utilizes national data and controlled for key confounders. And I think I might have time, but I'm just going to list a few of my public health implications. Basically, I just want to state that there is very limited research in this area, so future research is warranted. In particular, we found there's, it should be concerning to us that there's still a large percentage of us that are, a large percentage of women that are not gaining within the recommended rate gain. So we need to find out what other kind of factors may be influencing a woman's ability to appropriately gain weight. And with this, there's a continued need for preconception counseling and about diet and physical activity, as well as continued monitoring during pregnancy. Thank you very much. Thank you.